The 50th anniversary of Earth Day falls on April 22nd, and local environmental organizations have online actions planned, since stay-at-home orders and social distancing mean in-person organizing is not possible. Stop the Money Pipeline is an action against JP Morgan Chase. Danine O'Rourke from 350PDX explains why Chase in particular was a target.
So Stop the Money Pipeline is a new nationwide coalition with a number of different groups across the country who have really noticed that one of the really key issues with fighting the crisis is following the money. And it's a recognition that, you know, we as grassroots organizations, like volunteer-powered movements, we have people power, but we have nowhere near the same amount of money, of course, as the fossil fuel industry. And the money that they have is where we can really hit them where it hurts. And so the key recognition of this is we know who is giving these loans, these massive loans and investments to the industry that's destroying the planet and our communities. And it's big banks like JP Morgan Chase and investment agencies like Liberty Mutual and groups like BlackRock. So this focus for the climate movement at large across the country on targeting the funders of the industry is really recognizing the power that money has in exacerbating the climate crisis, and the need to really follow that money and encourage these institutions to remove their funding from the industry.
Greenpeace Portland, 350PDX, Columbia Riverkeeper, Extinction Rebellion Portland, and other local environmental nonprofits are involved in the action. The groups demand that asset managers, insurance companies, and investors stop funding, insuring, and investing in climate destruction. Joan Van Reese from Greenpeace detailed the action.
What we decided to do as a group, as a coalition, was to go to everybody and ask them to leave a review, a one-star review of Chase Bank, and tell them about the fact that they've invested $270 billion, which also could have been invested in renewables, and that this way they are not serving us. They're taking our money and putting it where we don't want to.
Danine explains that the $270 billion invested in fossil fuels by Chase makes them an important target.
And that $270 billion is only since the past 4 years, like since the Paris Agreement was signed. And so it's we think that's an absurd amount of money. And that's like after all of major countries around the world like came together and decided that this was an issue that needed global collaboration. JP Morgan Chase saw that that agreement and still has given $270 billion to the industry that's causing it. And so we think that that is criminal. And that's why we see it as so important to highlight this. And Chase is also here in Oregon, a really important target for us because they're not only the largest funder of the industry in the world at large, but they are the largest U.S. funder of Pembina, the Canadian company that's trying to build the Jordan Cove fracked gas project in Southern Oregon. So this is also a really key way that we can be in solidarity with folks down in Southern Oregon who've been fighting this project for 15 years and encourage Chase to see the effects that that project has and remove their funding from that Canadian company.
Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, strategies for the Earth Day action had to shift. Here's Dakota Shee, the Portland campaign coordinator for Greenpeace.
So originally, our coalition had been working together to plan in-person events. We were going to collaborate with youth organizers of the planned Earth Day climate strike, celebrating the 50th year of the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And also the plan was to actually more physically show up in Chase Banks all across the city and actually across the nation, because this is part of a larger organizing effort, and to actually stop business for them and really make that physical impact by occupying space there and educating customers on what they're doing and how they're using our money to destroy our planet. So in the face of COVID-19, we've definitely had to pivot over to more online organizing tactics. And I think the thought was, how can we best still occupy space and be really visible with messaging around this and educate consumers about where their money's going? And how can we do that in an engaging way that lets us build community at the same time and bring more people into the fold of these different environmental movements and organizations that are happening locally? So we decided to create this really excellent online action with the Digital Chase Takeover to really still create that space and that sense of community and give people a space to take action even right now while we're stuck in our homes, because we know we've seen already from the way different COVID-19 relief efforts have panned out and the proposals that lawmakers have put in there for bailouts for the fossil fuel industry, that even now, when really our government should be focused on protecting the most vulnerable, fossil fuel companies are going to use this moment to continue to build that money pipeline and continue to take as much of our resources as they possibly can. So it's still a really key moment for us to continue organizing and continue this momentum.
Ian A. Camp with Extinction Rebellion Portland explained the impacts the groups hope the campaign will have.
The ultimate impact is that Chase, the big lenders to the fossil fuel industry, including Chase, BlackRock, Liberty Mutual, that they realize that the fossil fuel industry is not a good place to be putting their money. That in the future, there's going to be more awareness around climate change and kind of the destructive effects of the fossil fuel infrastructure that they're funding. That there's going to be more opposition from people who are investing with them, who are starting to see these effects more and more and are pressuring them, and more impact from activists. So I think we want those funders to realize that they need to take their money out, or they're going to, it's not going to be profitable anymore.
The groups also hope that participants will walk away with renewed purpose too. Deneen explains.
I hope that people can see the power that they have when we take action collectively, and whether that's in person or online, and working together in the various ways that we can in this moment to make our voices heard to major institutions like JPMorgan Chase. I think a lot of the time when we have targets like that are as large as ExxonMobil and JPMorgan Chase, you know, the largest bank in the world, it can easily feel perhaps really disempowering, that like, can we really make a difference in this arena? But we have seen, you know, since this coalition started just in January, we've seen announcement after announcement of major banks deciding to stop investing in coal or in Arctic drilling. All of these major decisions that like only a few months prior had been unthinkable. And so we're seeing that like this movement is moving the needle on what it means to not be a criminal in destroying the climate in our communities. And that like we really do have the power to put an end to this dangerous investments, and that even though we are the David and the David and Goliath story, like we are winning and we just have to keep it up.
In the 50 years since the first Earth Day, the conversation around and understanding of climate protection has changed. Peter Miller with 350PDX reflected on its evolution and how coronavirus plays in.
I think the extent to which, you know, people tried to improve the environment and everything, and we've marched forward heading towards this cliff relentlessly is kind of a shock, you know, and a wake-up call for us all. And so, you know, I think the environmental thing is just going to become more and more of an issue week by week, practically, you know, as we're getting into this. The COVID-19 shows what can happen to our kind of fragile international system But climate change is kind of a longer, slower, bigger version of that, in my view. And we're going to really see the consequences. This is just a prelude to what could happen to us in a terms of our whole economic and social system falling apart, and the lack of resilience in communities, and inequality, poverty, frontline communities suffering from, you know, pollution, and you know, so this is a kind of a microcosm of what we're going to experience on the environmental level, I think.
More recent developments in the battle for climate justice have been heartening for both Ian and Peter.
And so I'm 18 years old, but even in my lifetime, I've kind of seen the resistance to climate action go from denial of what's actually happening, from like it's gone from like 90% of scientists believe to 10% of scientists to believe to all credible scientists believe that climate change is real and it's a real threat that needs to be addressed. So I've seen it go from climate denial to kind of people are seeing that there's a problem and we're kind of paralyzed at this moment. We're afraid of what's ahead. We're afraid of the kind of magnitude of the action that we need to take. We're afraid of the consequences that that will have on our economy and our lives. And I see us kind of right now that we're kind of at a tipping point where we're still paralyzed, but that change is coming. We're kind of at a tipping point where once we get just a little bit farther, we're going to start really accelerating towards real climate solutions. And the other thing that I'm seeing is a lot more, a lot younger people getting involved with, like I'm seeing middle schoolers and elementary schoolers protesting outside of City Hall every Friday. And that's really inspiring to me too.
I can echo that, speaking as a boomer, that you know, this sort of generational gap you see with a lot of older people, and I see this with friends, just reflecting that, you know, it's kind of too late, and, you know, don't rock the boat. I say it as the phrase is, boat is sinking, don't rock the boat. And the young people see they're going to have to rock the boat. Things are going to have to change. And so there's this sort of weird generational divide, but even young people who are in grade school see the problem. So it's really going to, fortunately, that's going to accelerate the change, I think, because people, young people are going to get into the leadership positions sooner rather than later. And that's really going to be make a big change, I'm hoping.
For Deneen, the modern celebration of Earth Day has lost some of its meaning, but looking back 50 years prior offers an opportunity to reconnect to that spirit.
I've been really inspired, like, reflecting on the need to really understand what happened at the first Earth Day in 1970. And I, of course, was not there. I'm 24 years old, but I am, as an organizer doing this work, for most of my young adult life, I have been really inspired by what happened in the first Earth Day. And I think with how corporate and like greenwashed this Hallmark holiday has become, that it's like mostly about, you know, you see ads from companies like Shell talking about like how they're engaged in Earth Day and like the Earth Day plans that they have. And it's easy to become really disillusioned about this holiday, but really there were 20 million people just in America, in the U.S., who took to the streets and had teach-ins and filled the streets, and 20 million people. Like, just for context, last September when a lot of these groups here worked together to organize the September Youth Climate Strike, we had 20,000 people in the streets in Portland on September 20th, and there were 8 million people around the world who took part in those actions over 2 weeks. 8 million around the world. So 20 million people just in the US on one day in 1970. I think that's amazing. And not only in the numbers, but That's what brought us the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, the Environmental Protection Agency, our most landmark environmental laws. And so we really saw like the power that people have when they come together to actually change laws and change how our society is governed. But a lot of that, yeah, it's been lost. And so the 50th anniversary is a chance to really reclaim that with what the now modern, you know, environmental movement is about, which I really see it as a movement for justice, and that we can't have climate, we can't tackle the issue of the climate crisis without tackling issues of inequality. And that's what, that's the environmental movement that I see myself involved in, and that I know that all of these groups here are involved in now too. So we have to build upon that energy of 20 million people while grounding ourselves in the fight for climate justice and what it means in 2020 and what it means living through a global pandemic.
The Stop the Money Pipeline campaign against JPMorgan Chase will be held on April 23rd. Deneen explains how interested parties can get involved.
I think all of us here between Extinction Rebellion, PDX, Greenpeace, and 350, we and all the other organizations that we're working with, including Sunrise PDX, Families for a Livable Climate, Generational Resistance, all of these groups are doing amazing work in the community to build a movement together. So I would encourage everyone listening to take action with us on April 23rd, leave a review at your local Chase Bank, and then get involved with the groups who put on this action for the long run, because in terms of stopping the money pipeline, we are in a lot of ways just getting started with this local coalition. And we are, you know, we have a lot of creative energy for like what else we can do together during this time when we're at home, but we also are looking forward into the future for when we can be in person together and what kind of exciting, bold actions we can do.
We've been speaking with Deneen O'Rourke and Peter Miller with 350 PDX, Ian Ankamp with Extinction Rebellion Portland, and Dakota Shee and Joan Van Rees with Greenpeace Portland. More information about the Stop the Money Pipeline campaign can be found at stopthemoneypipeline.com and at bit.ly/chasetakeover. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.